As we continue our study in the book of Genesis, we're still in the 44th chapter, and we're ready to begin at the 14th verse. The setting for this passage is that the 11 brothers of Joseph have just completed their second visit to Egypt. And as they are loading the animals to return back to Canaan with the grain, Joseph has them to put the money back in each man's sack that they paid for the grain, but he also has them to put the silver cup in Benjamin's sack. Well, shortly after they had begun their journey back home, Joseph has his men to follow and catch up with them and accuse them of taking this cup. And they denied it, of course, very strongly, and they searched each man's bag, and when they got to the youngest man, Benjamin, there was the cup. And this was a very much of a shock and surprise to the other brothers. They couldn't believe that this had happened. They couldn't understand it. Joseph was putting the men to the test, where they just now say, okay, you take Benjamin back and let us go home and we'll be satisfied. But that's not what happened. Verse 13 says, then they rent their clothes and laid at every man his ass and returned to the city. So instead of just sending Benjamin back to face the music about the cup, they all went back with him. They were all very upset about this. They couldn't understand how it happened. And this was really a show that they had a unity among themselves. They had a true love for Benjamin, and they weren't just ready to throw Benjamin out like they had Joseph. So these men had actually changed. That's what Joseph wanted to know. Well, as we begin today in verse 14, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. So Joseph had stayed at home until the servant could bring back the word of their reaction. He was no doubt moved with joy and thanksgiving when he saw all of them coming back instead of just Benjamin alone. But he still needed to hear from their own lips how they really felt about this thing, what their thoughts really were, and as they came before him, they once again fell upon the ground before him. So we can see how that this idea of them paying obeisance to him that his dream had predicted has come true several times now. Verse 15, and Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that a man as I can certainly divine? So the opening statement that Joseph made to his brothers was that he charged them with a crime, and he asked them why they had done such a thing. Furthermore, how could they expect to get away with such a foolish crime? Surely they knew that by now he had the ability of divination. That is, he had the ability to prophesy and to tell what was going to happen. And also he could tell what had happened. They couldn't hide anything from him. And this statement that he makes, incidentally, calls attention to the fact that he really did not depend upon this cup for his prophetic powers. He could divine, or he could miraculously tell who has stolen the cup without having to have the cup. So in their ears, this would give them the idea that perhaps after all he had a source of inspiration which was entirely beyond the occult abilities of the Egyptian magicians, and therefore he must really have some knowledge of their own God, the only true God. Joseph did not rely on any of the powers of the Egyptian magicians, none of their spirits, no other power but that of the true and living God did Joseph use. Verse 16, and Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. So we see that Judah now is the spokesman for the group. He clearly speaks out, and he feels that he is very helpless. He saw the evidence of Benjamin's guilt was overwhelming. There was no way that they could prove his innocence. There was no way they could deny this thing. It is significant that even though Benjamin was the only one charged, Judah acknowledged that they were all equally involved. If Benjamin were guilty, so were they all. And furthermore, he confessed that they recognized that all deserved to be punished. Even though they were truly innocent in this particular situation, they were very guilty sinners. And God hath found out the iniquity of them all, he says. He and his brothers were deeply burdened with the enormity of the fact that they had sold Joseph into bondage 20 years ago, and now it was only fitting that they themselves should also become slaves in Egypt for the rest of their days. Verse 17, and he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, get you up in peace unto your father. So Joseph tested him another time here by repeating the offer that his steward had made. Since only one man was guilty of the theft, only he needed to stay in the bondage. The rest are free to go back home in safety and peace to their father. So when he mentioned their father, this stirred their hearts real deeply, because they realized very muchly that their father would take this so hard when they returned without Benjamin that it might be the very death of him. They'd actually rather not go back at all than to see the bitter and hopeless disappointment and grief of their beloved father. Judah therefore spoke again, and this time he has a considerably long speech pleading for the mercy of Joseph on Benjamin and the rest of them. So verses 18 through 24, then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou sayest unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, Except your younger brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. So here in this passage, Judah is telling Joseph all the events that led up to this confrontation. He spoke very respectfully, but he's very earnest, he's very sincere, he's intense. And in this remarkable plea that he makes, Judah clearly demonstrates that whatsoever weaknesses he might have had earlier, whether he had a resentment of Joseph or not, but it must be remembered that he was the one who actually saved Joseph's life from the other brothers. And he also had weaknesses such as lust of the flesh, which appeared when he had these dealings with Tamar. He was now a strong man of godly character and compassion, and he had considerable wisdom to go with his age. And so he recognized that Joseph had full authority, that he was as strong as the Pharaoh was. He could do with him as he pleased, and all he could do now was to plead for mercy. So he reminded Joseph that he had shown real interest in their personal affairs. He'd asked them about their father and their younger brother, and how Joseph had insisted that they bring Benjamin down to Egypt with them, even though their father would be in danger of death if it did so. He was pleading therefore not only for Benjamin, but also for his father's life. And so Judah continues his plea in verses 25 through 31. And their father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, You know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, thy father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. So Judas now proceeds to tell how his father had finally given permission for Benjamin to go, knowing that there was really no other choice. Then he told of his father's final plea, reminding his other sons how his beloved wife Rachel had only had two sons. The first one had gone away on an errand years ago, and he'd never seen him since. He assumed he'd been torn into pieces in some kind of a terrible mishap. If Benjamin were now to not return home, he said it would bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol, or to the grave. And Judah assured Joseph that the very life of his father was so closely bound up with Benjamin's life that he, Judah, simply could not bear to go back home without him. He knew that when his father saw them returning without Benjamin, the very shock would be enough to kill him. Now Judah comes to the very climax of his plea. Verse 32, "For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever." Even though he was confident that Benjamin could not be guilty of this theft of this cup, he couldn't argue Benjamin's innocence because there was clear evidence against him and there was nothing to refute that evidence. But assuming that Benjamin was guilty and that therefore he deserved to be punished, would it not be possible that Judah himself might bear his punishment in his place? He would claim the bag in which the cup had been found as his own, and Benjamin could take Judah's. Though Judah was innocent, he desired so keenly to see Benjamin spared for his father's sake that he was willing to be pronounced guilty of this instead of Benjamin, and he was willing to suffer the punishment which otherwise would have been meted out to Benjamin. So we see here that Judah does show a very, very compassionate and loving attitude to want to place himself in the place of Benjamin. Verses 33 and 34 say, "Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondsman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father?" Judah had promised his father Israel that he would be a surety, he would be a guarantee for Benjamin. And he probably didn't fully realize at the time how really near this promise would come to having to be fulfilled. He was willing to follow through, though, and he was willing to bear the blame for Benjamin if Benjamin can only return to his father. So here we see Judah's great love for his father is shown, most of all, in his final plea, "How shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? How shall I see the evil that shall come on my father?" In his willingness to give his own life in place of his brother's for the sake of his father, Judah here becomes a beautiful type of Christ, more fully and more realistically a type of Christ than even Joseph himself, who is often taken by Bible scholars to be a type of Christ. 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." In fact, although the scripture does not say this in so many words, the reason why Judah was selected to be the ancestor of the Messiah rather than Joseph might be seen right here in this action of Judah. Judah, in his willingness to sacrifice himself, the innocent to be sacrificed for the guilty, had become the most Christ-like of all his brothers. And so we bring the 44th chapter of Genesis to a close. We're now ready to begin the 45th chapter, which continues with this same narrative that we've just been reading and discussing in chapter 44.